Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dhamma, homage to the Sangha. The history of the final attainment of one of Buddhism's great saints, Prakan Mun, is the following piece of information. From evening to late that night, this is the night of full final attainment, he contemplated the law of dependent origination, both during walking meditation and sitting meditation, in both its serial and reverse order, backwards and forwards, again and again, traversing and retraversing the great domain where ignorance and desire have been massing to create various aspects of suffering within the mind. This was the most critical point of his battle. The battle in which he struck the death-dealing weapon of great mindfulness and great wisdom against ignorance, which is renowned for its most skillful tactics. Ignorance is clever, not only in its defensive maneuvers, whereby it is adroitly evasive, but also in aggressive strategy, whereby it can launch a surprise attack upon its opponent with devastating results. What else, of course, is to be expected of one who has been reigning over the great kingdom of rebirths and re-deaths from time immemorial, with the minds of sentient beings within its powerful grip? But in the life and death struggle with the venerable Prakan Mun that night, the powerful and crafty monarch of the three realms, the Lord of Ignorance, was helplessly dethroned. He was toppled and fell before the relentless strikes of the great weapon of great mindfulness and great wisdom that is known as the sword of Buddha's wisdom. His heretofore unchallenged authority was challenged by the venerable Prakan Mun, and he was finally and absolutely defeated. Now, too many people know of suffering's existence, but they do not know its cause, nor do they know its cessation. And the serial and reverse orders of the law of dependent origination with the moment of seeing the cause fully as the focal point and moment of enlightenment, these two, the serial and reverse orders of the law of dependent origination are in fact suffering's cause and the cessation of suffering. For although Zen is often said to be a moment, a blinding flash of understanding, Zen is simply a word that means meditation. And Zen is as much dependent upon the Four Noble Truths as any other school of Buddhism. And those who practice meditation, or if you prefer the term Zen, those who practice meditation must go through the existence of suffering, suffering's cause, and the cessation of suffering. before they can really learn to use to its full advantage the Eightfold Path, which is really how to stay in the state of cessation of suffering. So we should look at the law of dependent origination as the second and third noble truths, with the moment of enlightenment, the moment of full understanding, the moment of full acceptance, as that moment in which the full understanding of the law of dependent origination is reached. Now, too many people have past life experiences and do not realize that what they are seeing, hearing, and feeling is, in fact, a reenactment of what took place in their own case concerning the law of dependent origination. Because such and such happened, such and such took place. Because this happened, such and such else took place. For those of you who have the books, I am looking at page 316. Law of dependent origination shows the conditioning and dependent nature of the uninterrupted flow of manifold physical and psychical phenomena of existences, which we conventionally call the ego. This flow is constant, so long as one does not meditate deeply enough to find out its cause. When one meditates deeply, one sees what happened in one's past existences. And in so doing, one is able to trace many things. But it is going back again, and forward again, and back again, and forward again, and back again, constantly, that eventually reveals the full and complete cause. Having the experience of past lives once does not give you full understanding. You must go forward and back and forward and back until full understanding is achieved. And this is just as much true with Zen as it is with any other school of Buddhism. Because someone sometime or other accidentally made the cause of karma. And in almost all cases, in fact, I would say in all cases that I have seen, it has been through, karma has been caused through very slightly saddened love. Because of this, the rebirth-producing volitions, or karma impregnations, caused the conditioning of the future rebirth. Through these karma impregnations from past lives, Our consciousness in the present life is conditioned. Through this consciousness are conditioned the mental and physical, i.e. body and mind, of a human being, or that which makes up our so-called individual existence. Through these mental and physical phenomena, our five physical senses and our consciousness are conditioned. And these five physical senses and consciousness are conditioned by the impressions that this karma impregnation has made upon us. And because of this, because of these impregnations, our feelings are conditioned, and because of these feelings re-arises craving and clinging, and thus the whole process of rebirth and re-death constantly continues. Now, because of the so-called slightly saddened love, which really did not understand love, karma came about. But this was not the sort of love that is found in the unborn, the undying, the uncreated, and the unchanging. This is the me type of love. I am hurt. I am saddened. To say slightly saddened love is wrong, but it is a term that everyone can understand. If we say that we are hurt because what we believed to be love was spurned, or what we believed to be love was not accepted, we are closer. If we had known real, true love, such as the love of the unborn and the undying, the cosmic Buddha, then such a mistake is not made. And it is getting past this slightly saddened love, which is one of the gravest barriers and most important factors in our training. It is so easy to mistake a really genuine and beautiful attachment for love. A person who is genuinely and truly attached to helping his fellow men may well believe that this is true love and that this is genuine love. And when those fellow men are not as grateful as he thinks they should be, then he is hurt and starts making karma. A bodhisattva can make the same mistakes. He can see people who are turning away from the teaching and try to chase after them because he loves them and wants them to have the teaching. But this is an attachment. It is very important not to mistake a genuine attachment that looks extraordinarily beautiful for the real thing. For in the true love that is the love of the cosmic Buddha, there is no attachment. And if one comes, that is good. And if he goes, that is his decision. There is completely free will in this. It is important to understand this point of departure and not to mistake a thing that appears beautiful for what it is not. Such an attachment is ignorance, and through such an attachment, karma is produced. Be very clear on this point. Only by going back and forth on what comes up in your past lives will you fully understand what really is suffering's cause. Do not mistake the unreal for the real. In the time of the Buddha, the unbelievers were allowed to depart. And in the time of Prakamun, who died in the 50s in this century, the unbelievers were allowed to depart again. Any time someone tries to tell the truth and get beyond the love and light heresy, there will be unbelievers. And in this present day and age, when social work has largely taken over, or at any rate deeply overshadowed, the rightful occupation of the priest, it is hardly surprising that we find the love and light heresy flourishing in such strength in this country. But it is deeply important to know that this is an attachment, however exquisite it may appear. Keeping this in mind, then, and knowing how karma arises, take a look at the diagram on page 317. The love and light heresy, I suspect, is responsible for far more karma than any other single heresy. But I have no statistics, of course, on this. Because of this ignorance, the karma process comes into being, which produces from this life in which one died in this ignorance the impregnations again of ignorance, consciousness, craving, clinging, and again the process of rebirth. And because we are conscious, and because we have a body and a mind that can think, plus 5 senses, we continue the rebirth process. And it is through the transcendence of thinking, remember the words in the evening service scripture, do not think and do not try not to think. just sit. Just sitting without discriminative thought is the way. But here we have to remember with great care that body and the mental mind with which we are blessed, which is number 4 in your diagram, is also the means by which we can get away from our present cycle of rebirths and re-deaths and get back to that true and exquisite state which we held before the ignorance took over. For it is through the aegis of this physical body that we are enabled to be here and to sit in this hall for this session. And it is through the transcendence of thinking, remember the words in the evening service scripture, do not think and do not try not to think, just sit. Just sitting without discriminative thought is the way in. So by transcending body and mind, which is the way of Zen, we can break this particular chain. And it is at this stage and at the beginning of this session that we have to deal with looking at the coming from and the returning to. And we must not look at what comes up in past life understanding on a very shallow level, only if it is looked at completely, only if it is taken care of and not repeated, only if even the most beautiful things are seen in their true form, without spurning them and without turning away from them, just understanding them and therefore being unbound by them. Only by so doing will we transcend thought and transform mentality into Buddha mind. For it is by transcending our human mind that we find the mind of Buddha. By getting rid of our own personal likes and dislikes, by losing our own personal attachments, by being willing to give up the rewards of this world, look what a lot I have done for charity. Look what a lot I have done for society. Only by giving up these material rewards and recognizing them as what they are, the results of our attachment to doing good and to wanting, even, as I said in the case of the Bodhisattva, to wanting everyone to be with the cosmic Buddha, even that has to be given up. Only by giving up all of these things can we truly transcend thought and live in that place where the love of the unborn, the undying, and the uncreated truly exists. And only in that place can we really do good, real good. Only in that place can we completely cease from evil and do good for others. In any other place, all we do is continue the attachment of ignorance. The attachment to ignorance, I'm sorry. So looking at the chain of dependent origination, the place for us to start during this session is number 4. For through our senses and our consciousness, we will start the rebirth process all over again if we do not transcend this body and mind. If you do not allow body and mind to fall away naturally, as Dogen says, then you are doomed to another round. And who knows that you will be human next time round. It may be many years, many hundreds of years. Who knows when? Too often people lecture on the law of dependent origination and go all the way through it as an analytical study, instead of realizing that the place to stop is at number 4 and start doing something. Something about transcendence. Something about knowing ignorance for what it is. And something about knowing the love and light heresy as the most dangerous and the most insidious of all ignorances. Every day through my door come appeals to help this or to help that. If I had a money tree that gave me millions a day, I would not be able to satisfy those huge gaping holes. But if I truly do something about myself, and if you truly do something about yourselves, then you can and will be able to give genuine help, even if only by the fact that you're not constantly being reborn and adding to the collection of karma. At its lowest common denominator, you're at least doing something, if no more than that. So during this session, examine and re-examine forwards and backwards and forwards and backwards. Look at everything that happened in your past lives and in this life. Look at everything that you are doing. Are you sure you are doing it for right reasons? I am not asking you to check if you are right to be monks. There is no doubt you are right to be monks. If there were any doubt in that, I would tell you. I am asking you to look at everything else you do and seeing if perhaps there is not attachment somewhere. Please look with great care. The government does not help us in this effort. It says we have to have certain standards and we must have this and we must have that. But none of these things are really necessary. Look at them carefully and see if you have to have these things. Look at all of this with great care. And then, having had a good look, okay, Consider what the Venerable Prior Khan Mun had to consider after this great understanding of his. His biographer says, after a while, when the thunderous sound had died down, what remained of him was the absolute purity of the Dharma, which bathed his body and mind and enveloped all the worlds. To him, it was so breathless a wonder that it was indescribable to others. Whatever loving kindness and interest there have been in teaching others, now disappeared, at least momentarily. This was because of the realization of the fact that the Dharma at this level is so subtle, profound, and wonderful that it would be practically impossible for most people to understand it. To know and to feel the love of the cosmic Buddha, which is your true inheritance, is something so far beyond anything that a human being who has not experienced it can imagine, that it might do harm to even try to express it. For a moment, therefore, he hesitated to offer the truth to others, being content with experiencing the wonders of the Dharma alone. He was overcome by gratitude towards the Buddha, who realized the truth and who had proclaimed it for the sake of deliverance. And through this respectful gratitude, he was moved to an insatiable recollection all night of the virtues of the Buddha and his excellence. But so profound is the Dharma that to preach it would be inviting harsh and hostile criticism from the unbelievers. And as a result, efforts in that direction would hurt rather than help others. This was how he felt at this time. It was not until after he remembered that the same thing occurred to the Buddha himself, and that if the Buddha had not preached what he knew, he, Venerable Prior Khan Mun, would not now have found the way. It was only after this that he decided that he would teach others. After making this realization of what the Buddha himself had done, he decided to bring the Buddha's message once again to those who would listen to it in earnest and with respect. There would be no point in teaching those who would not listen, or who would listen without respect or interest, or just out of curiosity, taking the Dharma for granted and treating it as merely commonplace. The supreme Dharma, the love of the cosmic Buddha is only won after a series of very painful ordeals on the part of those who will go back and look at the mistakes of the centuries. It is therefore useless to dissolve the priceless Dharma in the ocean as one would dissolve a worthless thing. It was for the sake of those who are willing to listen that the Dharma was proclaimed. And it is for the sake of those who are willing to listen that I am lecturing every day in this hondo. A physician prescribes a remedy for his patients with a view to curing them of their suffering and pain. But as long as they prefer living with their disease, so long will they turn a deaf ear to the physician's advice. If you wish to listen to my advice during this session, go back and forth and back and forth on what you have found out of yourselves over the years you've been here and of what you know you once, of what you know of the karma you have inherited. It is not enough to go through it all once. You must go through it again and again. You must see every single tiny root of suffering's cause if you would know the full cessation of suffering. This is absolutely imperative. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha.